13 past nine, James Hedo is the Executive General Manager of Racing at the ATC. Joins me now. Morning, James.
Morning, Sean.
10-year strategic plan for Sydney Racing. There's a fair bit going to happen in this.
Yeah, look, as a business, we've been working hard over the last 6 months to look at all of our assets across our four venues and try and put together a realistic and achievable plan to ensure their future, but also ensure that we're world's best practice and that we offer the best that we can in racing and training facilities.
Now, some of the projects that will go ahead, the installation of lights at Royal Randwick, now, is that for training or racing?
That'll be for racing. Hopefully within the next 3 to 5 years we're able to achieve that. There's a lot of work that goes into installing lights and a lot of consents required, but we do see a future in night racing and a shift away from midweek Wednesday races to Friday nights. The success of Canterbury this year with a few things that we've done to really engage with the local community out there and bring a lot of people to the Friday night races just makes it a lot more of a viable proposition for a race club. And certainly Randwick, with the work that we've done here with the public facilities and being so close to town and with the light rail going in, really lends itself to becoming a very popular Friday night destination if we're able to achieve the implementation of lighting.
Well, you've got everything there for everyone, haven't you?
Certainly have, and it's just in a time frame where people are more available to come and attend the races. Certainly on a Wednesday afternoon, it's difficult, obviously, for people to come out and attend, and it's just getting that engagement with people and communities and bringing them back to the track.
Now, the other option is Rose Hill. Chance of lights going in there again for racing?
Yeah, look, that's a chance as well. I think Randwick's the main focus, firstly, to get the lights there. But certainly over the next 5 to 10 years, there's a lot of work being done at government level to activate that whole Rose Hill Camellia precinct and improve transportation links out there. And if that lends itself to possible night racing as well, I think, again, that it's something the club would seriously look at.
James, the Kensington track, to put it politely, wasn't the success everyone hoped it would be. That's putting it very politely. So you're going to basically just rip it out and start again?
We are, Sean. Look, we've done a very thorough and vigorous process to get to the stage we have now. We're very close to engaging a partner to rebuild the entire track. It's very important we get it right. We're aware of that. We need the industry to be confident that once it's up and rebuilt, that it's a very leading track for metropolitan racing. And I believe we've done everything possible to ensure its success. And construction is due to start early December, probably in the next 2 weeks. It's a period of construction that should be completed by the end of March. And we've penciled in Australia Day 2018, so January the 26th, 2018, as the return to racing on the Kensington track. It's very achievable. Like I said, it's been a very thorough and vigorous process to design and the profile of the track to get it right, get everything right, and I'm confident that we've done everything possible, but you know, of course, the proof will be in the pudding and certainly when we're back, when it's rebuilt and we give it that time to grow and to take hold and back racing in January 2018. And you know, I'm very confident that it'll be well received and will cater for metropolitan racing into the future.
James, given what's there at the moment, are you able to reuse any of it or do you have to rip all the drainage out and just start from scratch?
We're ripping all the drainage out and starting from scratch. We see it as a 20-year, 30-year track. So we thought, no shortcuts, let's start from scratch and go again. We're actually using it as a template. Like I said, we're very confident that it'll be successful, be a template for our rebuilds at all our other course propers and venues. So we've given it 2 years before we start our next proposed works at Warwick Farm, which we propose would start around December 2018. And it'll be the template for all our future rebuilds.
Will the grass surface be different to what was put down before?
Yes, it's a different profile, different type of grass. So,
yeah.
All of that's been thoroughly investigated from the project team, and we believe we've covered everything we possibly can and mitigated the risk as much as we can, and confident that, like I said, we'll be back for racing January 2018. It'll be well received and do the job for a metropolitan racetrack.
James, when you do something like this, and this is a massive exercise, given that it was done a couple of years ago and had to be ripped up, do you go and seek advice or opinions from jockeys who've ridden on various tracks that have been redone, trainers who had horses on them? Do you get feedback from them?
That's probably more when it's laid and we'll start having some gallops and trials there into the future. We've used an expert panel here with Professor McMorris being involved, who's a world-renowned expert in the profiles of tracks and drainage. And we've had a panel of about six experts that have assisted us through this process in design and construction. So, look, we will seek their feedback once it's up. And we have had discussions with various trainers and jockeys. And I think the overwhelming feedback we get is we just have to get it right.
Yeah.
So we're mindful of that and working very hard to achieve that.
Now, Rosehill Gardens, there's training track upgrades coming there, including, I think, a sand to a synthetic and then a synthetic to a sand.
Yeah, look, that's been slated for a little while now, and we're getting very close to having the final design works completed. The trainers at Rosehill would like to swap those tracks around in that the sand track has a bigger circumference and they prefer the synthetic track to be where the sand track is, and that gives them a bigger circumference to work their horses. So we'll swap those two tracks over. So the sand track would become the synthetic with the bigger circumference, and the current synthetic track would become the sand track. So we're close to finalising those designs, and I'm hopeful that work would commence around about May 2017. We wouldn't start anything before the championships. That would disrupt possibly the training regimes of the horses at Rosehill. So it gives us a little bit of time to get the design right. There'll be a few ancillary works around when we do that job, including some irrigation works and some things like that. But once it's all done, that'll be premier training facility, you know, and it'll be right for 10 or 15 years into the future with the works that we do. So, again, it's something we just have to get right. It's took a little bit more time than we would have liked to get the design right, but once completed, it'll be world class.
Now, Warwick Farm, you're looking at a full course proper rebuild and a possible new synthetic track to replace the current A grass.
Yeah, look, the course proper rebuild we plan to do in starting December 2018. And, you know, like all our venues, we need to renew and upgrade them in a nice aligned process. And we think doing Warwick Farm first is the way to go. Future upgrades and rebuilds of the Randwick course proper and Rosehill course proper will occur, but Warwick Farm will need to take a bigger load while those upgrades are being done. So it's important that we get Warwick Farm done before Randwick and Rosehill to allow for the increased workload that track will take when those other two tracks are being redone. So firstly, we want to get the course proper right. And then after that, we will investigate the possibility of a synthetic track at Warwick Farm. It's something that needs certainly further consultation with the industry, trainers and jockeys. And there's been a lot of discussion over the last few years about the requirement or the need of a synthetic track and whether or not one for the future is the way to go, particularly through the winter. At Warwick Farm, currently, we have a pro-ride training surface, which really does help us through the winter, and we conduct barrier trials on there at times when it's just too wet to conduct them on the A grass. So look, it's something we're looking at, whether we replace the A grass with a synthetic and how we do that. But the course proper will remain a course proper turf surface at Warwick Farm, and if we do an infield track there, it will be in the infield. If we do a synthetic track, it'll be the infield area, but still a lot of consultation and discussion to go ahead there and whether we go in that direction.
James, the synthetic track could be used, as you said, barrier trials. Could it be used for racing as well?
The current one there is not quite big enough at Warwick Farm for that, but certainly for barrier trials it's been successful. And sometime in the next 5 years we'd like to install a synthetic track at Randwick for training and also that could be used for barrier trials as well. It's just a very handy tool to have, particularly through the winter, as I said, where horses can remain in full work and get the gallops into them that they require to race. And we do get some very wet winters now. So it's something in the future we will look at seriously. And Warwick Farm, as an infield synthetic racetrack, does look to be a viable option. But like I keep saying, certainly a lot of consultation to go ahead there before we go down that path.
Is there ever any thought of a synthetic track for racing? During the winter, we lose a few meetings. And, for example, in Victoria, they wouldn't have had racing if they hadn't had synthetics at Geelong and Pakenham.
Yeah, like I said, there's been a lot of discussion in the industry about the requirement of one, and that's why we're looking at the possibility of doing one at Warwick Farm. Whether or not that's the best location, that'll be determined. We think it probably is at this stage as an infield racetrack inside the course proper. And, you know, like I keep saying, there'll be further consultation and discussion and whether it's achievable and viable. And the other thing is having the trainers accept it as a racetrack. Certainly successful in Victoria, maybe not so successful in Queensland. So if we're going to go down that path, we'd certainly want the support of the trainers who run their horses on that type of surface.
And there have been a few varying surfaces, and some they've liked and some they've absolutely hated.
Exactly right. You know, we'd have to get it. We'd have to get the surface right and something that's accepted across the industry. There's a lot of variations out there. But the way technology is improving and the science of it's improving, who knows where we are in 3 to 5 years. There may be a track that is embraced fully by the entire industry available. But the way racing is now and certainly some of the wet winters that we get, it's difficult when you have those significant interruptions to racing. And if we can minimise that and alleviate that risk of washed out meetings, well, that'd be a good thing for the entire industry.
What sort of feedback have you had to this report so far?
Look, all positive. Yeah. I think now it's incumbent on us here at the ATC to achieve what we've set out to do. We're working really hard here. I've got a great team around me, and it's just really important that we do achieve what we've set out to do. So it's a realistic and achievable plan that we've put together. We haven't just thrown a dart at the board and hoped for the best. We've spent a lot of time making sure that we've put together something that is achievable. And now it's a matter of working hard and getting it done. But I've got a good team around me, as I said, and good team of external partners as well that are all working in the same direction. So it's a very exciting time, Sean. And I think the industry's excited. The ATC's had a tremendous last couple of years and really successful, and clubs going from strength to strength, probably the envy of every club in Australia. So it's onwards and upwards, and we're in a position now where we can achieve these upgrades, and we'll work hard to get them done.
Good on you, James. Good to catch up and appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Sean.
James Heddo there, the Executive General Manager of Racing. It's at 26 past nine at Sky Sports Radio when Takedown won in Perth last week. I reckon we were all pushing him because we wanted to see what Gary Moore would do, and he's with me now. Morning, Gary. Congratulations.
Morning, Cozzy. Yeah, it was fantastic. What a day. What a day. What a horse. What a horse. Just
mate,
fantastic.
You make Liberace look introverted, I tell you.
I'm glad Dad's not here, you bloody idiot.
What are you doing? That was fantastic. You took off up the straight. You brought him back down along the fence so people could see him and shared him with everyone.
Well, I think it's important. You know, people really enjoyed it and they wanted to touch him, but of course you can't get that close. But they admired, they were really surprised how tall he was and how big he is and what a motor he's got, Cozzy.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Now, most importantly, how's he pulled up?
Okay, he was transported from Perth to Melbourne overnight.
Yep.
He got into Danny O'Brien's stable around 1 a.m. He was fed, hosed, he cleaned up. His temperature's normal, so I sent him out to just stretch his legs and he just trotted about 1,200 metres. He will go through the veterinary formalities this morning. And all going well, he will leave at 6:30 tonight, direction Hong Kong.
Terrific. Now, Gary, for people who want to know the procedure with him now, all his inoculations, all that's out of the road, do you have to do anything more with the horse on a medical case, or is it just a matter of having him healthy and putting him on the plane?
So he's just going to have a vet inspection this morning. He's going to be wormed. And then his inoculations have all been completed. He hasn't taken any harm from any of those injections, which is a good result for all of us. He's come back and won that Group 1 on Saturday. His body weight is perfect, 621 kilos. He's put on weight since the run. He's probably going to drop weight on this flight to Hong Kong. But I'm so lucky that we're going to get him in there 10 days before. It'll get him, give him time to acclimatise and put the weight back on him with this trip.
Now, you just said he'd actually put on weight since the run on the weekend.
Yeah, I weighed him, the day before the race, and he was 6'16". So, I mean, he's put on about 5 kilos, which is good.
Gee whiz, so it hasn't knocked him about.
It does, doesn't it? No?
Yeah, and he's actually whacked on weight. That's terrific.
No, but it's been a great result. But we've fed him up, and he's a horse that has a very good appetite, and that's the way he is at the moment.
Now, when you get him to Hong Kong, is he in isolation there when he goes there, or what's the situation there?
Yes, there is. He is in. He'll be by himself until probably Rebel Dane arrives. They have the quarantine facility at the top of the 1,000-metre chute at Sha Tin, and the facilities are of a very, very high standard.
Now, with Hong Kong, you know it as well as anyone, and obviously you wouldn't be taking him there. He's a Group 1 winner here unless you thought you were going to shake the life out of it.
Well, I'm very confident. I'm so happy for the Hong Kong Jockey Club that they extended an invitation to him when he was only a Group 2 winner. And he's come out and won the Winterbottom on Saturday, Group 1. So he's going into Hong Kong as a Group 1 horse. And I'm confident if he gets a barrier draw inside 5, he's going to be very hard to beat, Cozzy.
Gary, he must just have a wonderful nature as well.
He's just a beautiful animal to do anything with. I mean, he knows when it's the race day. He really, switches on. And like Jim Clark pointed out, he's just a beautiful horse to ride. And, he deserves the status of just one of our best sprinters in Australia, Cozzy.
Gary, was he gelded because of his temperament, or was it because of the fact he was going to get too big?
He was gelded early because Anthony looked at him and he was so big.
Yeah.
He thought that the only way to help him along in his career, that to get him to stand, weighing in at 620 kilos, was probably best to geld him. But with the loss of Stratum now, we're all very sad that he's not still a colt.
You can't put him back on, can you?
No, unfortunately. But, I mean, we're getting a lot of enjoyment out of the horse, and he's going to take us a long way. And I'm hoping that if we can knock this big one on the 11th of December, the Hong Kong Sprint, we can probably go on to Royal Ascot.
Now, I do have to ask finally, Gary, you've got to have a trick up your sleeve for Hong Kong. If you get the money there, I'm looking forward to this. What can you let slip anything you've got planned?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be spectacular. I'll probably have to be a little more subdued, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure the fans out there, having ridden there for so long, are really going to enjoy the occasion, especially trained by Gary Moore.
I'm surprised you could even say the word subdued. I wouldn't have thought that was in your vocabulary.
Well, I'll have to use it soon, I think.
All right. Congratulations on the weekend. That was absolutely fantastic for connections for yourself and the horse and Tim, but for racing as well, because that's what it's all about, enjoying racing and letting people enjoy the horse as well. And let's hope all goes well in Hong Kong for you, and we'll all be cheering for you, Gary.
Thank you, Cozzy. I mean, the social media has been fantastic, and I'm overwhelmed by the kindness.
Fantastic. Good luck, mate. We'll talk to you over there.
Thank you kindly.
Of course, in Perth on the weekend, we had Takedown getting the money over there. Terra Vista was there as well, and I thought we'd catch up with Joe Pryor to see how the horse pulled up. Morning, Joe, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I saw on the stewards report a terminology, and we discussed this yesterday, I've never seen before, Miss Strode. And they said Terra Vista did the 400 and the Keen Array at the 200. Have you struck that before?
Oh, look, I've certainly seen horses do it. I don't think I've seen it mentioned in the stewards report, but basically, I'm sure anyone who's watching Terra Vista would have noticed that about the 300, he sort of put in a really heavy stride and sort of went down. Looked like he suffered a real sort of concussive blow to his shoulder, and from that point on, he pretty much just finished the race off. Huey sort of eased him up and out of the race. So thankfully, he seems to have pulled up okay. I don't know if he put his foot in a hole. I'm not sure. The horse pulled up too well for mine. I obviously very disappointed in the result. A lot of work went into having that horse sort of spot. spot on the day, and I sort of believe he went in there in really good order. But he's a horse who has done, you know, similar in the past. He's a little bit enigmatic to spoke, and you know, when he runs these disappointing races, they're extremely disappointing.
Joey had feed issues in the past. Was that one of your immediate concerns when he sort of went back through the field?
Yeah, look, not so much. I know his feet are spot on at the moment, so I was sort of pretty confident it wouldn't be that. But yeah, I was just a bit alarmed when I watched the race and as they sort of the misdrive or the blunder or whatever you want to call it. Saw that, I just wondered if he had done some damage. As I say, thankfully he seems to put up okay. He flew into Melbourne this morning with takedown. And they go different paths from here. He's off to Hong Kong and we're off to the paddock for a couple of weeks. So I've got 80 days until the first race he could possibly run in if he was going to go to the Lightning. And I will say with this horse's form, while he has mixed it over the last 12 to 18 months, his very consistent form has been down that straight.
Yeah.
He's never missed a place down the straight. He seems to run his best races there. So he could well take his place to the Lightning, which, you know, should have won last year.
And Joe, sometimes we tend to forget they are horses and they can have an off day. They can have a day when they may not be feeling 100%, or we put in shockers sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, I do it regularly. he's an older horse now. And he's been through some tough times. Look, he's an older horse now and they tend to do it more as they do get older. But it's fine, isn't it? You know, they're not always on song. They're flesh and blood. And they're not always feeling their best. It was an extremely hot day over there. It was close enough to 40 degrees. But now I really felt like he handled it well on the day. So I don't want to throw up too many excuses. You know, the horse was disappointing. But I do know with this horse, he's more than capable of bouncing back.
Joe, when as you said, 80 days to the Lightning, you tip him out and give him a bit of a let up. Is he the sort of horse that needs much galloping when you bring him back for a 1,000-metre race fresh, or is he...
Not really. He's had one trial to go to a race like that. He's got good residual fitness. You know, his first up run was so encouraging at Flemington. You know, he sort of got held up for a run. He probably should have won that day as well. I think he's about 7 starts without a win, but you could make a pretty good case. He should have won a couple of them. And I mean, I guess every connection of every horse probably thinks a horse should win more races. But, you know, those two races down the straight... the Lightning, and again, run first up. He's pretty unlucky. I mean, Damien Oliver dropping the stick, you won't see it again, you know. But look, anyway, the horse is fine. More than happy to press forward with him. He's only had 24 starts, so I'd like to think we can get another couple of seasons out of him yet. And look, he's probably going to mix his form in those couple of seasons, but geez, when you've got a horse capable of the high rating runs that he is, you can't exactly retire them just because they have an off day every now and again.
Well, the other thing is, with him, as you said, when he turns it on, you know you've got just absolute silk department, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all right. Well, Joe, good luck with him. Good thing is he's arrived back safe in town. Will he spell in Victoria, or where will you take him to spell?
No, he'll come home tonight, and he'll go to his normal spelling paddock, which is at Jazzcom, which is where I'm on my way to now. So.
Well, gee, you've covered a bit of territory, haven't you?
Yeah, no, look, you've got to get around and keep your eye across all your horses, and... It's the main spelling property I use, and it's only about 40 minutes from my stable, so it's quite convenient.
All right, terrific. Well, as you said, you have those days, unfortunately, but let's hope first up he's fresh and gets the money and makes up for last year on the Lightning for you.
I'm sure he's more than capable of it, Sean.
Yeah, good on you, Joe. Good to catch up. All the best.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Pry joining us there. Now it's 20 to 10, Sky Sports Radio. Glenn Burge is from the New South Wales Trainers Association. You might have noticed recently on the Race New South Wales website a trainer's calendar, which I thought was a fantastic idea. Morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. That looked a beauty where trainers could actually log in, put in their horse and some details, and it generated all the races that were suitable for it in coming weeks. Great idea.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had a good talk to Race New South Wales about it, and just we're just trying to work on ways of, I guess, overall improve field size and have better options around programming. So knowing the trainers knowing a bit more detail about what's coming up in a very time-efficient way really saves them time and helps the owners. They can pick their races easier.
All right. Now, you're also looking at adding in a few extra, I suppose, things down the track, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I guess we probably see the Trainers Association and some of our leading trainers see this as just the first stage. The ability for the trainers now to more easily pick their upcoming races without having to scroll through day by day looking for things. This system just will throw up the horse name, the benchmark, and then give the options in that range. plus what distances are available, et cetera. So we see the stage one. I guess stage two would be trying to work out a way of, I guess, matching supply and demand a bit better. So I guess one instance, if there was in the program a 2,000-metre race, for example, at Gosford, then the one another day, very close to that at Warwick Farm, you may only get five or six nominate for either, because the fact is the number of horses in work looking for races that week or that the week either side is very low. So and a way that we can actually see more what horses are looking for, what races, should actually assist in maintaining better averages on field sizes.
Now, you also, I mean, do you take feedback from trainers on this? If someone says, hey, I've got a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of this came out of the big handicapping and programming review, which we started back in about April, looking at what changes we'd be suggesting for the handicapping system and also just where programming fits into that. So it came up as an idea, and Victoria have got a very good system around this, and we had a look at that, had a look at some others overseas, and it's just a more efficient way for trainers to pick the races.
Now, as I mentioned, you're looking at expanding perhaps this down the track, which will also make it easier for trainers. Try and look at situations where what horses are available to race, matching programming to that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's important, for example, if there's lots of two-year-olds coming through, well, it would be great to know that that's the case. And then you can look at that from Racing New South Wales' perspective, we'd argue, and just work out what types of races and when they're actually on. And the next level of this we see is just to really try and be as technologically savvy as we can for trainers in terms of the ability to transact a lot of their, sometimes mundane work on behalf of owners, but being as mobile-friendly as possible, lots of prompts, lots of alerts to allow them to spend less time on the stuff that matters less to them in a lot of ways and more time on actually looking after training the horses.
It'll make trainers very happy, I tell you, if you can shorten some of that time down, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other point I'd make in terms of the country trainers, I mean, a lot of them are travelling a long, long distances to find suitable races for horses in their benchmark band. So we also would try and work out a better way perhaps to programming in the regional areas to stop the sort of 5-6 hour float trips, just because in a calendar over a year, the programming didn't quite match the horses in work around that benchmark level for that region.
Yeah, wonderful idea. And these days with computers, it is amazing what programs you can generate, and they will assist all. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, Glenn. Glenn Burge there from the New South Wales Trainers Association. The Gosford has a huge summer of racing coming up there at the entertainment grounds. See Daniel Lacey with me now. Morning, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. You've released a program here. This is a beauty. Right over summer, you've got the Gosford Quarries, Gosford Gold Cup Race Day. You've got, the whole lot, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it's an initiative that was set up before my time by James Heddo, the previous CEO, to tap into the Central Coast holiday market and put a lot of race meetings on and move our biggest day being the Cup in that period as well. So and it's proven quite a success, and we do really well over the period.
Running the Cup on a Friday, I would imagine that would be a real boon. People would just get there and it heads into the weekend.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, like most people are still off of work at that time, and there's a bit of a focus on racing because the Magic Millions been the day after, so it's actually a pretty good time. I mean, it's been well documented that we've been trying to get the Cup on the actual Saturday, but that's not our decision. Hopefully one day it'll come through, but at the moment, the Friday's pretty good.
All right, now Thursday you've got the Haven Education Race Day. That sort of kicks it all off.
Yeah. So that it's a really good day, that one. It's a local charity, and they bring a lot of people to the track. So that kicks us off, and then we have a picnic on the 17th, and followed up by a race. We got Twilight on the 29th of December, and then our real big community race, AB, on New Year's Eve, where a lot of people from Gosford and Wyong come along, and that's our biggest day of the year. We'd get 5,000 plus. on that day, and it's a really good day.
Now, Daniel, for people who want to go to these days, can you go online and book now? Because I'd imagine a lot of them, if they want the corporate or the good area to sit and whatever, they'd have to get on pretty early, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so our picnic day on the 17th sold out about 3 months ago.
Goodness.
So that's already gone. But we've got a couple of initiatives there on the 29th, and actually on Cup Day as well. We've got a TAB marquee on Cup Day where we're aiming for the racing enthusiasts. So we've got... is hosted by Gerald Middleton on the day, and TAB are going to do a few punters clubs and things like that. So that's all on our website at the moment, so people can book online for all of those things.
All right. It just goes to show these days you've got to show a bit of dash and you've got to cater to the families, haven't you?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we try to cover all bases. So on every day of our summer series, we've got kids entertainment there as well. So we're making sure that everyone is catered for. We've got racing covered and kids, and we've got obviously our hospitality packages as well.
All right, it's amazing. Saturday the 17th of December, sold out 3 months ago. You'd love that every day, wouldn't you?
I know. It's been really, really good that day, and it goes to show that if you put on something that is worthwhile, that people, you know, will go to it.
All right, well, congratulations. It looks like a fantastic summer coming up there at Gosford. And all I'll say is to everyone, get in early. I reckon that's the go, the best bet of the lot.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot for that.
Terrific. Good on you, Daniel.
Okay, cheers, mate.
Daniel Lacey there, CEO of Gosford. There's summer racing coming up. And what a situation to have that Saturday the 17th, the picnic day, booked out 3 months in advance. 8 to 10, Sky Sports Radio. Mark Oldham joining us now from Perth Racing. How are you, Mark?
Well, thanks, Sean. How are you, mate?
Nice
to hear your voice. I can remember you emceeing a National Jockey Trust function last year at Caulfield, and it was very well done and very funny.
Oh, yeah. I think I got out of jail 3 days after that, too. it was good fun. The Kingston Town coming up the weekend. All systems go. Chris Waller's got about three in.
Yes, he does indeed. They all look to be good chances. Of course, the likes of Vanbra, Good Project, and, of course, the other one that escapes my mind, Sean, sorry, just McIntosh's as well, of course, who ran super in the Railway Stakes.
Now, the interesting one is Kawi. I saw an article on Alan Shorrock who said he didn't expect him to win the Railway. He thought the handicapping would go against him in that race, but the one he's sweating on is the Kingston Town.
Yes, absolutely. And if you just go back and watch the run, he probably should have finished third or second. It was an outstanding performance with 58.5 when he's back. Back to weight for age here. He should be the one to beat. I saw him gallop this morning. He galloped on his own with Emma Davies on top, the head lass, Fallon Sharrock, I guess you could call it. But he galloped up really, really nicely. He's primed for this weekend.
Now, the other thing is Michael Walker. It looks like he's right. He got squashed in the barriers at Moonee Valley last week. We've been trying to get on him. We can't get through to him this morning. But all reports are he'll be okay to ride the horse. Have you heard any more?
Yes, and from Alan Sharrock, that's the plan as well. Speaking to him this morning, he's very happy with how the horse is going. And this weekend, conditions should suit as well, Sean. There's only 21 degrees expected. Mm-hmm. The rail's in the true with westerlies as well. And with westerlies, what it means is it blows into their face when they're coming down the side. So, look, the way he races, depending on the barrier for tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time, he should get a lovely run. Drawing out wide's not an issue for him because he can sit wide with cover and finish off strongly. He looks very hard to beat.
Now, are there any Smokies from WA? We saw a couple of them go very well in the on the weekend there. Get home. There was that horse that raced the Peters Colours. State
Solicitor.
Yeah, come from a Benchmark 72 to a Group 1. Ran a terrific race.
It was an enormous performance. And again, if you go back and have a look at the replay, it was a checkered passage through, but the horse just kept finding the line. 12 months' time, the Winterbottom again looks to be an ideal race. But for this weekend in the Peters Investments Kingston Town Classic, I saw he or she worked this morning with Chris Parnham aboard. He's a bit of a lazy worker, so Chris wasn't too perturbed by that. He thought that was a nice piece of work because that's how he usually is. But he was on his own. Bass Strait, another one for Neville Parnham, Chris's father. Chris also rode that one. That had a good gallop on the course proper as well. And then there was Tradesman. Of course, Tradesman ran a very good race 2 starts ago in the Listeer Classic and arguably should have finished closer in the Railway Stakes. Douglas White comes over and rides this horse. It had a nice hit out this morning on the course proper as well. And it's a him. Of course, Fred Kersley's great galloper. It won a Group 1 as a three-year-old before going to Melbourne and being with Patrick Payne. It worked very nicely with Lightning in My Veins, who will be going back to the Scahill Stakes, which is a Group 3 over 1,400 metres in a fortnight's time. But they worked well together. It's a him certainly had the wood, and it's a him looks to be really flying. So the locals there are going very well. And just a quick one as well, Lustaha, the three-year-old, it worked behind Kawi by itself, and it hit the line nicely. But Back Straight worked very nicely, has run second at its last two starts, and paid $15 a place and then $5 a place. It's a him and Tradesman of the locals as well. They all go into Saturday's race in very, very good form. So it should be an intriguing race. Of the rest of the locals there, Sean, we've also got Scales of Justice.
Yeah.
Of course, the Railway Stakes winner, Douglas White, returns to ride it. And look, it's going to be a fantastic race once again. And Bob Peters, as he usually does, plays a pretty big part in these races. He's got Perfect Reflection, who again, back to weight for age, being a four-year-old mare, gets in at the weight so very well. Bob's also got Neverland, who ran second in the Perth Cup last year. He's got Heartstarter, who's a half to Real Love, who we saw go so well in Melbourne. And that's actually all Bob has. Usually has five or six, but they're all very good chances. It's going to be a really, really good weight for age race.
I tell you what, your benchmark racing must be all right over there. Scales of Justice, it's won the Railway last start. Three starts ago, it won a benchmark 72.
That's it. And before that, I think it lost a benchmark.
Yeah,
72
got rolled.
Behind one of Elio Galantis and Grant and Alana Williams. Cool image. The name escapes me. But anyway, he's a very, very smart horse. He was allowed to roll in the Railway. I don't think he'll get it that easy out in front, although there doesn't look to be too much other speed. So the barrier draw will be all important tonight, as I mentioned. 7 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. So, look, this is shaping up to be a very, very intriguing affair. And I'll just quickly mention as well, Sean, Stratum Star for the Darren Weir stable. He obviously comes over and he raced very well before coming over here, and he's already a Group 1 winner. So, look, it's a very, very intriguing race. There's only probably a couple that you could dismiss, the likes of Tick Tick Bloom heading towards a Perth Cup. And then we have Dubai Escapade, who's also probably heading towards the Perth Cup. So, no, plenty of interest in the affair, and it should be a very, very good finish. A Group 1 weight for age, Sean.
Yeah. Now, Mark, just for people who to get an idea of the track, from the 1800, how long a run do they have before they hit a turn?
Oh, I'd say it's about 150, 200 metres.
Yeah.
It's not a long way, but a lot of Eastern States trainers liken the circuit to Caulfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a little bit of the opposite. It's the same shape, but instead of the straight run down the side at Caulfield when entering the home turn, it's actually a 45-degree angle, so it's quite a sharp turn. A lot of people seem to think that Ascot has a leader bias, but that's not true. It's just the way the races are run. And if you're closer to the front, you obviously have less ground to make up, whereas if you're at the back and you're covering ground around the turn, you've got to be a very good horse to win. But with a genuine speed on, well, hopefully this weekend, it should be a very good finish. But as I mentioned, Scales of Justice out in front, he'll bowl along and do his own thing once again.
All right, terrific, Mark. Good to catch up and good to get the report, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Sean. Great chatting with you. Great chatting with the listeners too. Thank you.
Good on you. Thanks, Mark. Mark Ollam's joining us there from Perth.